welcome to another episode of the Pure Property Podcast, where we talk about all things property and property investment. So how are you doing this week, Matt? All good?
Yeah, been all good, thank you. I think it's been a little bit of a positive. We've seen some sunshine over the past couple of days, which is has been rare for this month.
Past couple, would you say past couple? Maybe one or two, Matt.
Yeah, a couple of days, maybe two, three, maybe.
Sunshine's pushing it a bit.
No.
But yeah, no, it has
improved. Been nice.
And this is actually, since the last podcast as well, we had quite a good trip to Birmingham.
Yeah, we did. It was a really good trip.
Which was nice. The sun was actually out then, to be fair. We went to Birmingham. They had nicer weather there than we had down here in the south. But it was a good trip. Like, obviously, we've been to Birmingham before and we go there just with the job role that we have. But it was nice to be there. It's nice to see sort of more development going on. It was nice to get some nice food and sort of take in Birmingham, because we didn't go on a too heavy job related role. We went for a development launch, which again was really, really good. That was nice. And yeah, it was nice to get some good food. It had a bit of a London feel, didn't it, when we were there, sort of having food and sort of taking in the scenery and walking around. How did you find it?
The thing is, I think there's this misconception with Birmingham as a whole, and I think similar to Manchester, your Liverpool's, people don't expect it to be the level.
When you're like in London or London based, if you don't know those areas, then yes. Yeah, like
if
you've
never been to there and you've heard about these locations like your Birmingham's, etc., you don't. I remember even one of the team mentioned it. One of the teams was like, oh, I didn't expect Birmingham to be like this. And yeah, it's literally, I think in the city centre parts and where we walk around, you would think you're in London, central London, easily.
Yeah, no, true. And it was really quirky. Like, so for the listeners and the watchers, the launch of this development was in like a warehouse. Mm. How many times do you think we walked back and forth trying to find the actual building?
Let's just say, don't leave directions with Toby.
No,
because
we saw other people.
It did start to rain at that point as well.
It actually did start to rain at that point, didn't
it? So it did start to rain at that point.
Yeah.
We're then getting drenched.
We got under the tunnel, that was okay.
We then started trying to see where other people were going to, so we followed them. Then it didn't work out. Then it was the other route. And then, to be fair, we didn't even think it was going to be. It looked like a garage.
So, yeah, it was
literally like an MOT garage. If you walked in this little garage, and then it turned out to be this amazing industrial kind of looking
New York apartment theme space.
It was wicked.
Like, because the building was just, it was just literally a plain white building which didn't really look that nice, a bit grubby.
Not at all. And no curb appeal. Zero.
It had the number of the building spray painted on the side. No sign or nothing. Yeah. And
I thought Toby was taking us somewhere else.
I thought we'd been stitched up, to be fair. And then you go inside and oh my god, it was amazing. Oh,
unbelievable.
Like, if you follow us on social, if you follow me on social media, especially Instagram, you'll see some of the footage I put out and some of the pictures. And like the owner, as we found out, actually lived previously in New York or had a place in New York, from New York, and when he moved to Birmingham, that was where he lived. So he sort of liked it, turned it into that New York industrial
crazy
warehouse
to think
feel,
that someone lived
apartment.
There on their own. A really nice, don't get me wrong, I would like to live there.
The nice touch, they said that he had a daughter, so he literally turned the bedroom for his daughter. He mimicked it down to the T for exactly what it's like for her room in New York.
No way.
So when she lived, or when she came over here to stay and lived with him there, she didn't know any different because the room was exactly the same, which I thought was pretty cool, pretty nice touch.
Yeah, it was a wicked venue.
It was.
And a great event.
But more on to this week's episode, rather than talking about general property investment or topics that we usually go over, the spotlight is going to be on you. So I kind of sprung this on you. Not much preparation from yourself, but I thought it'd be a good idea to have you talk about your recent purchase that you have gone through and got for an off-plan property, because obviously we talk about off-plan. Track Capital, a property investment company, is off-plan and new build orientated, but it'd be good to get a live case study, because you obviously work within Track Capital, within the business and in that realm. So you've actually now gone on to buy an off-plan property as well, which obviously is a good sign. That's very good to hear. And also you do own a sort of existing slash secondary market property also. So we've got that side where you've experienced both now. So what I thought I'd do is ask you a few questions around your purchase. Is that going to be, I mean, you haven't got a choice, yeah. But is that okay?
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's going to be a very quick episode, yeah. If you do say no. We'll just sit here in silence and talk about anything random.
No, yeah. Come on, let's get into
it. Cool. Right then. So I think firstly, as an introduction, why don't you give your understanding or how you describe off-plan property investing?
So yeah, I would say off-plan property investing is investing in a location. It could be anywhere, to be completely honest with you, that is being built. So it has planning in place. Usually a lot of the time we'll always have planning in place. And basically investors can get on board, or people, whether they're buying an investment actually or for themselves. We have known people to live there themselves.
Yeah.
I've actually got a couple of clients that are looking to do so in an off-plan one in Manchester.
Yeah.
But basically, yeah, it's getting in at the early stages whilst the property is being built. And of course, when it's completed, you can then benefit from that. And a lot of the time people will buy off plan purely because of the fact that you're either getting in a fantastic location, which of course in a lot of locations, there's a lot of existing buildings. So you can get in these kind of locations that are maybe right next to a regeneration or in a regeneration where you can really benefit from the capital uplift in price.
Yep.
And obviously the rental benefit as well. So yeah, it's a lot of the time we normally say you're getting in somewhere and you're going to be able to benefit from the capital growth element. That's what we try to, obviously we can't bank on that always.
Yeah.
Because obviously with the market conditions, you can't always just do that. But we give ourselves, I guess, a lot of the time, and what we look for, I guess, when we're taking on developments is the best chance possible. So we will get next to a regeneration or in an area where there is significant growth or money being invested.
Best apartment into that location. In the block as well. You can pick
go early on and pick the best apartment. Whereas, of course, if you look at the secondary market, you're essentially shopping at what's already there and what's only on sale rather than picking maybe something that obviously someone's happily living in.
Yeah.
So that is also a great opportunity, which, yeah, you can pick the best apartment in the most desirable location, south-facing, let's say, or anything that obviously ticks your boxes personally.
Mm.
And, can get in early and really benefit. And we've had many success stories with many of our clients, which we can kind of go into as well.
So, yeah, effectively buying off plan means you're buying before or during the construction phase of the property. Cool. All right, then. And give a brief outline of the off plan property that you bought.
Yep. So I purchased a off plan property that's obviously actually before kind of it really did get off.
So construction hasn't started.
So construction hadn't started at all.
Mm-hmm.
Which can be quite, I guess, concerning to some people. And it would be, I guess, you could see it in a way as a higher risk investment. So what I did, I purchased one in Liverpool, in an area where there's a massive, at the moment, I'm not sure if our listeners will know, but there's a massive £5.5 billion regeneration that's actually being carried out by the Peel LMP Group. And they're kind of carrying that out along the waterfront or the Docklands area.
Yep.
And obviously you might have heard Everton's new stadium's on one end, and then you've got, obviously it leads all the way back towards more so the city.
Yep.
Where you've kind of, got which is going to incorporate, lots of new businesses, leisure, restaurants, more residential as well, and plenty more.
So you've bought off plan, hasn't started construction when you've purchased it. Two bed, one bed?
It's a one bedroom property.
What floor?
Eighth floor, which is the top floor.
So one floor, penthouse. Eighth floor, technically penthouse on the top floor. And price point?
It was around £184,000.
So £184,000. And it's on the waterfront, regeneration and developer?
Ramal Capital.
Ramal. Cool. And they'd already completed the first phase, hadn't they? So this is part...
Correct.
It's like a small master scheme,
correct,
isn't it?
Correct, yeah. So basically what's happened in Liverpool, this massive regeneration, of course, the council are going to be very cautious as to who to give, I guess, their trust into to be able to carry out something. And obviously we know the Pill L&P Group have a fantastic history with Media City in Manchester.
Yep.
And what they've been able to do there has been fantastic for the surrounding areas, obviously the business and the amount of money that's been put into there, as well as the residential prices going up and the yep. rental as well. So those guys come aboard, and Ramal Capital have also got a small section of that regeneration area mm-hmm. where they've been able to come on board.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, they've already started and have completed actually two developments
yeah.
Ahead of that, which excellent. I believe are about 2020 they were built.
Okay. So then what made you pick Liverpool? Because we've got other locations that we have access to, Birmingham, mm-hmm. Manchester, Sheffield, Nottingham, you name it, we've pretty got access. Even down here where you're based in the yeah. south, London, the southeast, we've got access to investment opportunities pretty much everywhere. So what made you pick Liverpool for your off-plan investment?
I think as a whole, yeah, as you said, Toby, I explored many different options. I looked at many things down here, down in the south. I looked at Manchester, I looked at Birmingham. And for me, I guess what stood out for me was Liverpool's price point as probably mm-hmm. one of the main factors in terms of look, Manchester and Birmingham are fantastic cities, but they've already had quite a lot of growth already. So I think the price point starting in that was a little bit higher. And I know we normally talk about Liverpool being a couple of years normally behind yeah. those two cities.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, once it was looking into it, was one point was definitely the price point that was attractive.
Yeah.
The element of growth as well. So we've got companies like your Savills and Zoopla, other kind of big companies that have obviously done research and provided data for many, many years now. And they were pointing kind of the Northwest as the kind of over the next 5 years to be the best performer in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, once again, obviously that Northwest kind of makes up of the major cities of your Manchester, your Liverpool and Preston yeah. as I guess the key ones. So for me, that was a big factor knowing if I'm investing now, it's clearly maybe a good time. I've got the data backing it as well. Not to say, of course, this is definitely going to happen.
Yeah.
But obviously it gives me a bit more trust as well in terms of knowing that. And also the rental side of things. I think the rental market is
very strong in Liverpool.
Doing really, very really well. Strong. I mean, on the last report, I think it was up around 8.5%.
8.5% year on year.
But before that, I think it was the year before that, it was around 11-12%
yeah.
in terms of in Liverpool. So we're seeing this consistent kind of increase in both the prices of the properties, of the apartments, of the houses in the Liverpool area, as well as the rental market as well. So it was something for me that, yeah, it just seemed like a good location. It felt, honestly, as well, I go a lot off my gut with yeah. a lot of stuff and my own natural instinct, and it felt right, I'll be honest with you. That's the reason.
I think that's a good point there, because we do have access to lots of investment locations, and you went for Liverpool. But I think, yeah, you obviously described the reasons why you chose Liverpool, but what I think it's good to stress is you'd been wanting to do an off plan, been looking at opportunities, but you took action. Like as soon as you saw one, I said, actually that works for what I'm looking for what my requirements are, it's ticking my boxes, it's ticking most of the things that I need. Okay, yeah, I'm just going to go for it. And you took action. So I think that's quite a good thing to explain, because you could have sat there and gone, well, I'll still look. Let me have a think.
And look, to be honest, we say this of investors that come with us all the time. They unfortunately, they do miss out on opportunities that yeah. arise. And this was one, for example, that sold out within a month.
Yeah.
So it was one of the developments that realistically, it still had a decent amount of apartments in there.
Yeah.
And for it to sell out in a month is a fantastic sign. But look, we had it recently with another launch, actually, where I know I had an investor who was kind of on the fence. He wasn't 100% sure. And he missed out, and then he texts me literally 2 days later, like, I'm really gutted, I really wish I went for it. And it, once again, as you said, it's pulling the trigger. But yeah, it's of course, if not for everyone, you have to feel comfortable in what you're doing, which we fully understand. And we don't promote you to kind of put yourself in a situation where you're not comfortable. So as a whole, yeah, for me personally, it felt right. And also, we were selling it ourselves. So in terms of speaking with, I think actually I'd sold quite a few before I'd actually personally with kind of clients that were close to me. And these were clients that I knew as well that we've worked with multiple times. And I was like, look, this is a really good investment. Mm. And the more and more I actually was speaking about it, the more and more I was like,
you sold yourself.
Actually, 100%. I was like, that is exactly what happened.
Yeah.
The more I was thinking about it. And then there was a second phase that came out and I was like, let me get one of the best apartments in here. Yeah. And look, it's not always going to be the best, because I think as a whole, when we talk about getting in apartments, it's not always the penthouses or the most expensive ones that are going to potentially always yield the best.
Yeah.
But for me, having a standpoint, a penthouse apartment, corner as well, unit.
Well, you've also spoke about potentially living in it as well when it is complete. So again, that played into it. It's like, well, look, yes, it's an investment, but I actually might live there. So you made your choice. But I think if you were just looking purely investment,
you would have probably
been like, oh, okay, let me choose like a nice middle ground there. But you thought, well, actually, do you know what? I might live there. If I'm going to live there for a short period of time, I would like to have this.
Yeah, and it's also things that factor in. For example, if I don't live there and I've got a tenant in there, what's going to be a factor in terms of a tenant looking at couple of different apartments in there and knowing my one's a corner one, it's on the top floor, it is quite an appealing unit for renting out as well. So they're things that I think you need to consider as well in terms of with a desirable unit. You've got to think, if someone's coming in, and don't get me wrong, we know that the demand is there, but if they're weighing up a couple of different options, want to make sure your apartment's going to be the most attractive.
So then, speaking of making that decision then, as you just mentioned, so what made you decide to go for off plan instead of an existing secondary market property?
Yep. So bearing in mind beforehand, I'd bought an existing secondary market property, just a 3-bedroom house, funny enough, in Liverpool.
Yep.
So it was something that when I kind of played it over and over in my mind, it was a time where I think the mortgage market as well had started to get a little bit uneasy. Not to say that was a massive factor in putting me off, because it wouldn't have been. But to be fair, it seems to have worked out now, and I'm quite happy in terms of what I've done. But it was a number of things. It was the fact of buying in an area where I'm basically buying in the heart of a £5.5 billion regeneration area, which for me...
But that's off plan though. So that's what I want to understand, is why did you choose... You may have been able to find a secondary market existing property. Why did you choose off plan?
Because one of it was that reason. I wanted to buy in one of the most desirable areas.
Mm.
And as we said before, sometimes you have to buy off plan to get into a specific location.
Yeah.
And for me, with my next one, I'd done one that was a house.
How did you find that?
Absolutely fine. It was a new experience for me, of course. So the whole solicitors and the legal process was all new for myself. So
stressful,
it took me a while.
Would you say?
I would say, look, in terms of bearing in mind there was no chain, solicitors and the legal side of things took around 4 months.
Trying to do the mortgage simultaneously as well.
Exactly. Then we look at off plan. I think I exchanged in around a month. So,
and you don't have to worry about the mortgage straight away. And that's what I kind of wanted to lean on there, because I remember we were talking while you were going for it. Well, both buying processes, we were always talking, but the stress I saw you under when you were buying the first property, which was an existing property, which is fine, you get on with it, that's part and parcel of it. But then when you bought the off-plan property in Liverpool, it was like, cool, pretty straightforward, here's my documents, solicitor reports back.
It was much easier.
There you go, I've exchanged contracts. Like, well, it's a waiting game now. I'll wait for it to be built. And then I'll start the mortgage at that point. And it gives you a little bit of breathing space, where when you're buying an existing property, which is normal, as I said, it comes with the territory.
You
have to be on it. Agents want it through quickly. The seller's like, why are you taking so long? There might be a bump in the road, like this one I'm dealing with at the moment, where there's a little bit of damp, and I've got to get a damp survey. I've got to sort this out and that out. The agent's saying, oh, you need to hurry up and do this. I'm like, well, I can only move as fast as the surveyors or the contractors will move. So there's a lot of sort of moving parts which you have to manage when you're buying at that point. So yeah, I think, like you mentioned, getting into the location you've highlighted
one of
as
my
key
points.
You
can
get in, you can pick the best unit, that factors in terms of your investment case.
Because also, I think if you look back at capital growth as an element as well, which look, we all look at the rental return, it's great. But for me, it was having a little bit of a different one. I knew the one I bought in the house, it's going to take a little bit longer to hit quite a big significant amount in terms of capital growth really benefiting.
Mm.
Whereas I knew buying in this prime location near the city centre, in the heart of that regeneration, that the value over the next few years would significantly go up compared to my property and my house. Whereas that would probably take a maybe a 5 to 10 years before it starts to really kind of increase. So for me, it was having a bit of a different investment. That's what one of the, initially the things was.
Diversifying.
It was attractive for me in that sense. Another point with the off plan as well is, I think a lot of people don't always mention, is the assignability clause. Which I have the option. And for most off plan properties, you will have this. Not always check
that you've got
not
that.
Double check with your agent in regards
or
to that.
Or the developer,
whoever you're solicitor, dealing with.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in regards to that, I've got that in this one. So, for whatever reason, if I ever wanted to, you can always resell the property before completion, which for me, I think, in terms of when looking at an investment, I like to really assess all my exit strategies as a worst-case scenario. I think you should with anything you do.
Mm-hmm.
So, the fact of having that was quite nice to kind of put my mind at ease as well. And to be fair as well with the off-plan, it's also making sure the developer side as well. So, I went and met the developer with clients when they were actually looking to buy, which they did. So I met them. I kind of went through the whole process myself as well as with the clients. And it just felt really right. And I had a good feeling.
So was this the only development you looked at off plan?
I'll be honest with you. I would say yes. I did consider a couple in terms of the surrounding areas. But for me, this stood out like a sore thumb in terms of,
I think,
because of the location.
Probably quite difficult to answer that because, to be fair, you're looking at off-plan opportunities every single
day. We deal
day.
With clients
so,
with
yeah,
it all
so
the time.
You're always looking at it, but like you just said, this one stood out. So that makes sense why you chose that one.
And as you said, though, Toby, like, it could have been anywhere.
Yeah.
There's regenerations going on in Birmingham. There's massive regenerations going on in Manchester.
Yeah.
So it could have been anywhere. But for me, at the time, and also financially as well, at that time, that suited me.
You were ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't mean, to be fair, I could have waited and then maybe gone, we've got a brand new one in Birmingham at the moment. That's obviously, we went to the launch event, massive £2 billion regeneration.
Yeah.
If I had the funds and I didn't buy that, I probably would have invested there.
Yeah.
But it was the right timing for me. And what, as you said, pulled the trigger when I had the funds available.
Okay. And then, so within your decision-making, was there a due diligence process that you went through to help you come to that decision?
Yeah, so I ran numbers in terms of multiple times. I think you do this as well. I did like a worst-case scenario if it kind of rented out on one of the lower ends of the spectrum, kind of a mid-case, and then obviously best-case scenario. So as a whole, it stacked up even with one of the worst-case scenarios. And for me, that's something that I look at in terms of course, the return and what from what amount of money I'm putting in and what I'm getting back is obviously one of the key factors and what most people look into when investing in property.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'd say that was one of my main factors. And then also do my own personal due diligence. I mean, we do it anyway.
Yeah.
Of course, I wanted to do it because it was a personal one as well in terms of looking at the developer, looking at the track record, which we know they'd already built two in that kind of close nearby kind of around that location, and also went and actually viewed what they'd actually delivered. So that for me was really attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Also with this developer in particular, they actually have their office on site.
Yeah, I've been there. Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
So they said, look, if you need anything, we are here.
And in their current built and operational building, which I believe where their office is, they actually have some celebrities. Now, we won't name drop. Some are British soap stars, and one is a very famous
UFC
fighter. So in Liverpool, female. If you follow UFC, and there's not many, female UFC fighters from Liverpool, so that'll probably narrow it down very, very well. But yeah, again, that was nice to see.
Yeah, exactly. As you said, a high caliber of 10 is something that we always look for in terms of even with our clients with other developments and off plan. So yeah, it was having that as well as knowing
comes with a price tag though. Do you remember?
Yeah,
so
of course,
you obviously you're paying a little bit more for that premium. So just do bear that in mind.
Compared to stuff in the market, you have to obviously assess what else is around there, and knowing that you're buying in a much more prime location, as you said, it does come with a price tag. But as well, going back to the point of looking at what they built previously and seeing and being in the building that they built to see the quality, the finish, and also knowing they'd had 100% occupancy in that building, which is great. Of course, if you're going to be renting out, you want to know there's demand there. We know there's demand in Liverpool anyway, but it's nice to have that reassurance.
So were there any financial, or was there any incentives on offer that the developer was offering people to purchase there, or was it just like, no, this is it?
So yeah, with this one, look, we always say this because I think in off plan you sometimes can be given these amazing deals, as we like to call it, where yeah. they'll chuck the kitchen sink at you, which this one wasn't. There was no incentive.
You didn't get a kitchen sink?
Didn't get a kitchen. Yeah, oh, no. Of course I did. But no, as a whole, there was no incentives on offer because cool. it was so in demand. And it was literally the case, and we do this with investors all the time. It does come down to when something isn't that in demand, if you don't buy it, someone else will.
Yeah, again, there's levels, isn't there?
Of
like
course.
high-end, high-caliber developments and investment offerings, they don't always offer incentives because they don't need to. Some it can dampen their brand as well. There's a few that we deal with. We're like, nope, that's it. Take it or leave it. But because that's part of their brand, they're exclusive, they're offering. So yeah, that makes complete sense. So that's good to know. So no incentives.
And we all know, look, incentives obviously do incentivize people, and it's attractive when you get something given to you and you're like, oh, actually that is quite nice. But sometimes if you think about it, or I always like to look at another point of view in terms of realistically, if they don't need to offer that incentive, how in demand is that?
Which is not always the case. I think it comes down to,
it depends.
Like some marketing strategies, some developers do, different tiers of developers as well. Will vary, but yeah, no, you're right there, obviously. Some developments may not offer incentives, but they should be because they're not as high caliber. So always look into that, which is a fair point. So then on the case of incentives, financials, what was the financial structure for your purchase? So res fee, deposit exchange, was there a payment plan? How did that look for you?
Yeah, so it's pretty similar to what we deal with all the time in terms of it was a £5,000 reservation fee, which does come off of the exchange amount.
Okay.
So once you place down the £5,000, the apartment essentially gets secured and taken off the market. You then have to put down a reservation form as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously pass your details over as well. It roughly takes around a couple of days usually, sometimes can be a little bit longer depending on the situation of that development, and then the solicitors will contact and reach out. Obviously you can normally have the recommended,
mm-hmm.
which we always say is just easier because they would have done the due diligence. And bearing in mind, I think when we kind of talk about this, a lot of people, when we recommend solicitors, they always think it's always kind of who the developers recommended sometimes, which is not always the case.
No.
But you have to remember it's an independent solicitor, so they work purely on your behalf.
Yep.
Which obviously I knew anyway. So, but in terms of talking about it for investors, the developer will have their own solicitor, and the investors have their own. Then obviously they come together and obviously sort the contract. So yeah, I actually went with a company that was the recommended. It took roughly around 4 weeks to kind of go through the process, going back and forth, reading over the contract. And yeah, there was a few things that they highlighted and obviously would let me know if that was okay with myself.
Yeah.
And then at the end of that process, it was putting down 25% of the property's value minus the initial £5,000 I'd put in.
Yeah.
As I said, it's not an additional cost, that one. And then, that was it. And then obviously the legal fees that I had to pay themselves, which I believe was anywhere in the range of £1,000 to £1,500 for the legal side of things. But it was a smooth process. Really good, to be fair. Dealt with me really, really well.
You bought in a limited company?
I did buy in a limited company. Purely because, of course, we've had an episode. We talked about things like that. But yeah, I did
purchase. It benefited
purchase.
You, basically,
it did.
To buy in a limited
it
company.
It did. Even though it was off plan, and you can say, look, it's absolutely miles away, and you can change at some point. So you can always buy in your personal name, and then close to completion, you can switch over.
There's
a fee.
It
does come with a fee.
Yeah.
I personally just wanted to buy it outright and not have to deal with that issue near to completion.
Well, you knew you'd definitely buy in a limited company anyway, so it made sense.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was it with myself. To be honest, they were easy to deal with, even though I was going through a limited company. They didn't treat me any different kind of to if I was buying in a personal. And to be honest, it was a smooth process, took 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything else is a kind of a bit of a waiting game, which I've had many updates since from the developer, kind of giving me an insight as to how the projects and the development's going.
Cool. So then with that process you just spoke about, how would you say that differs to buying an existing property on the secondary market? What was different?
I feel like there's a lot more involved, as you said. I think speed is one of the things that is, as you said, it's urgency when you're buying secondary market because it's ready. You need to be going.
They're usually contract ready as well because they've got it all geared up for launch. And then sometimes even the solicitor who's working for you when you're purchasing, who you instruct, they may have already seen the contract, so they're well aware of what inquiries to raise, what they need to ask for you again, and what they need to show you. So that helps speed up the process.
Yeah, so as you said, a much more of a lengthy process, though, I would say that. And bearing in mind, I didn't really have a chain involved. I know a lot of the secondary market properties do, which can take even longer. I mean, you've been a estate agent. You probably know there's been some crazy long chains that have gone on for months and maybe even years.
Yep.
But yeah, it took 4 months in terms of my personal one, and that was no chain involved. I moved as quick as I possibly could.
Yep. Then you had to, obviously the other difference was you had to do the mortgage at the same time.
Of course, had to get the mortgage all in principle and sorted, and then there was potential changes to the mortgage, so they have to adjust for that. And yeah,
works. You had to do. I mean, the one you bought on the secondary market, I know was pretty much refurbed, but you still had some bits that you had to get it up to scratch to be able to rent out. Whereas this one, you haven't had to do it because you're buying off plan, and you won't have to do it because it's going to be brand spanking new when you've
and
got it.
Yeah, that's one of the things, of course, because it was an older building, had a building survey done there to check everything was intact and what needed doing, which was interesting. Of course, on a new build, you wouldn't have had to do that realistically because it kind of comes with that when they have to do the kind of build anyway. So whereas with an older property, you're bound to find issues somewhere.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was quite a lot involved, and even though it was, I guess, newly refurbed, of course there were still things underlying that's probably been covered up, etc. That I had to obviously bear in mind and had to kind of touch up before we rented.
And were there any surprising challenges you encountered or along the process of buying off plan, or was it pretty straightforward?
I'll be honest with you, it was really straightforward. It's hands off, it's easy.
Yeah.
Apart from the fact of initially doing what you have to do for that month.
Yeah.
And it's not consistent. It's kind of just little documents here and there, depending on your personal situation, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a hell of a lot easier and stress-free to be here.
I remember you saying that. And then so how long is the period between when you exchanged to when it's projected to be completed?
Yeah, so I would have reserved initially towards the back end of last year now, and it's going to be completed at the end of next year. So you'd be looking at Q4 2024. So quite a decent amount of time.
Yeah, nice bit of a potential uplift.
And it feels absolutely ages away. Yeah,
it's not actually that far,
but
is it?
When literally I was thinking about it the other day, I was thinking it's actually getting fairly close. Yeah. It's not going to be a million miles away. And to be fair, with the updates as well, when you see how it's been going and it going up, etc., it's exciting.
So we spoke earlier about why you chose this development and Liverpool, obviously, as a location. So how do you see the Liverpool market now evolving over the next, say, 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, I think Liverpool market as a whole is an exciting time to invest. And I think that's why we've seen so many of our investors. I'll be honest with you guys, you probably will know anyway, but Liverpool is one of our best-selling locations. Yeah. It performs so, so well.
Yeah.
And it's down to a lot of the points we've already mentioned, of course, the growth element and all of that. But I think in terms of the actual demand and supply, there's a real kind of mix. I think there's around 3,000 apartments and houses that have to be delivered every year to keep up with the current demand. And that's without the regeneration coming into place. So I just think with all the money being spent in here, I honestly do believe it will be in a position where Manchester and Birmingham are eventually. Okay. I do think it will take a little bit longer in terms of time-wise.
Yeah.
But the amount of money that's being invested in there, obviously you've got two Premier League teams there, which does actually help. It does help when there's obviously big football clubs and lots more people visiting, whether that be for the European games. Obviously, Liverpool are a much bigger club than, unfortunately, Everton. But in terms of that, it obviously attracts more and more people, I think, as well, with the new, kind of similar to what happened in Manchester. I do believe it's honestly a bit of a copy and paste job in terms of Media City, what it's done, the prices in that area, the rental demand and the financial kind of hub of Manchester, in a way you could kind of call it in some ways. It's the exact same thing that's happening now on the waterfront of Liverpool. So for me, it's got a proven track record of that location and the amount of money being invested in there. As we said, the statistics, everything. So I honestly believe it will be on par, maybe not as high as Manchester and Birmingham, but it will get right up there in terms of prices and also rental prices, because rental prices are flying there as well.
So would you say there's one main factor, or is there a couple of factors which make Liverpool, in your eyes, a great location for off-plan investing?
I think if you get in now,
uh-huh,
it's still well worth doing, because I think a lot of people think always as well they miss the boat.
But or... I'm talking about sort of the factors for buying off-plan. Why is Liverpool good for off-plan? In particular, like, what would you say is the main driving factor? You
mentioned point.
The price point.
100%. It's a couple of things for sure.
And then
it's
the sort of the regeneration. One.
Price point, regeneration.
Okay.
The rentals still nowhere near where I think they'll eventually be.
Yeah.
So to buy in, I think you're going to benefit from buying something new in the good locations. And still a big part of the city centre isn't still regenerated.
I think that's actually a good point there. And I think... You've alluded to it previously as well, in this conversation, is that to get in to that regen zone, you need to be buying off plan, because there's no real options to get into there directly on the existing secondary market, because they're building it all up. So to be able to get directly into the hottest part of that regeneration zone, you have to buy off plan. So that's probably one of the main driving factors for why that's so appealing and why you chose that, and why Liverpool is a good option for off-plan investing.
And also the L3 postcode as a whole, like, we know we've got a couple of developments right now that you're buying in, and over the next 5 to 10 years you'll be buying a fantastic opportunity there in terms of it's going to become much more of a place. Whereas we look at Manchester and your Birmingham's, going back to them again,
yeah,
your M1, your M2, your M3 locations are all very built up. It's going to be very hard to find anything. Obviously, there is new builds coming in those areas, but a lot of it's already regenerated. Whereas if you look at your Liverpools, your L1 and L2 have done really well and they're regenerated, but some parts of L3 are not fully developed yet. Mm. And that's excluding the £5.5 billion regeneration. There's a lot of parts that wrap around the city that... you've still got a great time to invest in off-plan in those locations, because I generally believe, it's just going to kind of have that ripple effect where the city's going to keep growing and growing. They can only build out. They can't obviously keep going up.
So investing in general comes with its risks. Off-plan investing has its risks.
Massively.
So how did you mitigate those risks, and what advice would you offer to someone considering buying off-plan to mitigate the risks?
I think, as you said, it comes down to the individual themselves.
Yep.
Some people will be low risk orientated. For me, I would say a very low risk orientated would be my secondary market property. So I'd already had one of those under my belt. But not to say that it wouldn't have put me off buying first time off plan as well, because we know many investors do. I 100% would have as well still, even if I didn't do that. But for me, I would say, as long as you do your own due diligence behind it in terms of location, price point, area, kind of obviously going up in value, if it's going to be doing well, the developer massively, then realistically, you're going to, I mean, you take a punt in any investment you go on. So even with the secondary market, that secondary market property could have turned out to be problem after problem, issues, which, as you said, that you had a damp issue with one of the ones you mentioned there, that's ongoing, et cetera. And it can be one thing after another. So any investment you take is always going to be a risk.
Yeah.
But I guess it has to be a calculated risk in terms of knowing... I mean, if you don't take a risk, there's no reward at the end of the day.
So you've done your personal due diligence that you saw fine, which is like, obviously, the price, the potential returns, the developer, in terms of mitigating risk there, to make sure they all sort of check your boxes, and it fitted your criteria. And obviously, you mentioned before that the developer already had one up and running. You'd been there, you kind of mitigated it. We can't always do that as an option, but that helped to mitigate the risk. So that's good to know.
A lot of people just want reassurance, don't they, at the end of the day? So little things like that can help give them that extra reassurance that maybe makes that decision for them.
Yeah, for sure. And then in terms of sort of the current state of play of that investment. So since you exchanged on it, would you say that there's been a change in the value of the property from a price point and also a rental price point? Has there been a good change in that, or a negative change for that instance?
Yeah, well, I think it's been a positive in both aspects of that. I think one of them being the rental, which we've already seen and spoke about, 8.5% increase, which is on target to where eventually, hopefully, the rental prices will be. And obviously, being that location, I do believe they will get there. So, yeah, I think the rental side has been really positive, and I think it will continue to do so with what's all happening.
Mm.
In terms of the price point, 100%, I think I bought in at 184, and we've got a development that's much further away, still in the L3 postcode, but nowhere near really the regeneration. It's probably a 15-minute walk further outside than the city centre, and I believe the one bed's there off plan. You can get in now on the ground floor at around £180,000.
Yeah.
And wow. That's, yeah, not in the prime location that I've bought in.
And the fact that it sold out as well, if you were then to relist, obviously there's going to be a premium. Massive because demand. They can't buy that at the moment. So that's, yeah, as you said, there's for sure been an uplift. If you were to sell today, I think you
could
definitely sell for a higher price there. Rental value, as we know, it's been rising year on year, according to the last quarterly report from HomeTrack, 8.5%. So even since you've purchased, the rents have risen. We've seen that. And yeah, it kind of really just shows when you get the right off-plan investment, the benefits there. Then do you have any more plans to invest off plan, whether Liverpool or somewhere else?
Yeah, I do. I would definitely consider a few other locations as well. I think I might look to diversify. I think Liverpool's a great opportunity right now, but I think I would look at maybe Nottingham, your mm-hmm. Manchester, your Birmingham areas. Also some of the secondary tier cities mm-hmm. as well, your Bradford, which is yep. I know been doing really well. Yeah, there's quite a few to be honest. So yeah, 100% I would, just for the fact of, once again, the ease,
yep.
how easy it was, the actual process. And yeah, I've been really, really happy with obviously the Liverpool one.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, as a whole, I would do it again.
Okay. Have you got any plans to?
Yeah, I'd probably say in the next 4 to 5 months, I'd look to potentially buy one again.
Mm.
Of course, doing my own research, having a yep. look into things. Not to say I wouldn't go Liverpool again, because I yep. absolutely would, but yep. I just think as a whole, it might be a good idea yeah. to diversify the portfolio. But I still would also, like, I'm not going to say in terms of secondary market, I still wouldn't go there. I would. Mm-hmm. But of course, in terms of knowing how easy it is, and you've had it before, where you've had an apartment and a house.
Yeah.
And we've had many investors who have apartments and houses, and nearly every time they're always saying the houses are a lot more stressful and there's a lot more going on, of course, and
for sure.
issues. Whereas the apartments, especially when they're new, it's much more unlikely to have problems. And as well, with the off-plan side of things, when it is completed, you've obviously got the 10-year build warranty as well, which I know we didn't mention there.
Yeah. So take yourself out of the shoes of the Track Capital, Matt, that deals with off-plan investing day in, day out. Put yourself into the shoes solely of the Matt that bought off-plan. What top 3 tips would you give to someone that is considering buying off-plan?
Personal due diligence, because yep. even if an agent and you've got stats in front of you, just yep. double check,
yep.
go online, do a bit of your own research.
Yeah.
I mean, I've even had it beforehand where they spoke to me, they were happy.
Yeah.
But then they wanted to have a chat with the developer. So they actually rang the developer directly, good. Which was fine.
Yeah.
Absolutely fine. Wanted to get that reassurance from them.
Yeah.
In terms of just, yeah, making sure that also I think that we worked as well with them. It was just initially for them to get some more reassurance in terms of, yeah, I guess everything is what it says it is, which I do think is important.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, yeah, do your own due diligence is massively number one.
Yeah.
To what extent, it's up to you how much you want to go into it. Number two, I would also say do some due diligence in terms of on the rental demand. So one, double check in on the developer side. Two, double check on the rental demand. Speak to letting agents, or if you're looking to do, I know quite a popular one at the moment, short-term let.
Yeah.
Speak to someone in the area, a local agent, or sometimes you can even speak to, I mean, we normally recommend, don't we, sometimes agents that are locally going to be potentially letting your property.
Yeah.
They're going to be the ones potentially managing it.
Mm.
So you just want to get that double check and confirm. A lot of the time, look, these places will have demand, but it's always nice to know. I always like to as well ask them right now, if this was ready, what would be the rental value?
Yeah.
And potentially as well, in a couple of years' time, where do you honestly see this?
Yeah.
So I think it's always good getting some third party, I guess, insight rather than just the agent or just the developer's side of things.
Yeah.
So I would say those two, developer research, that research.
Demand research,
Demand research.
Number three?
I would say, honestly, it's a hard one, you know. I would probably say... There's a number of factors you can look into things here. I would say go do a visit. That's what I personally would do.
Go to the area.
I would actually personally visit, and that's what I did.
Yeah.
You don't always have to, and we've got many investors that don't. And look, I mean, to put a downer on that side, the three-bedroom house in Liverpool, I didn't look at it, and I bought. And I know you've bought without looking before.
Yeah.
But for an off-plan investment, personally, I wanted reassurance that I want to see the location where it is.
Yeah.
And that's something that
when you look at a region zone as well, because you want to see what's going
exactly.
on. Like, again, you have to go with an open mind, because when you go there, it may be like shabby. It may
run down.
Yeah, because it's regeneration zone. They're
to
regenerating
it in your head.
But to go there, be there and be like, okay, I'm here. That's there. Because you haven't got a row of houses next to you. You can be like, okay, well, I know this is going to be there. There might be shops down there or something like that. You most of the time it is just like a plot of land, but you want to go see what's the surrounding areas, and then you can picture as well. Well, I know something's going up over there. I know there's a regeneration. Oh, brilliant. In 5 years' time, this is going to look like this.
Which is hard to, though.
It's hard to.
We know that's hard. But if you don't have the time or can't get up there, I would always ask maybe the agency to send some photos, because look, as ourselves, as we mentioned earlier on, right at the start, we go to Birmingham to do regular site visits and so on, and we do the same in Liverpool, your Manchester, all the areas that we have developments in. So you can always ask us to do kind of a site visit in a way for you, get some photos, some videos, so you can envision that. And also the developers always very helpful, aren't they, in terms of sending exactly what it is, CGIs in what location, where's going what.
Yeah,
I just think in terms of initially knowing what's going on around it, that's personally taking away my track capital head. I like to go and view something like that personally on an off plan side of things, as you said, because it's not like there's a row of houses next to it, and on Google Maps you can see the row of houses.
Yeah,
on Google Maps you're gonna see an empty piece of land.
Yeah. Well, lastly then, is there any resources, or is there anywhere someone can go where if they want to do some research or want to learn about this type of investment, is there anywhere you'd recommend?
Yeah, well, self-plug in terms of ourselves, come to us.
Not just us, but companies similar.
Companies similar to us as well. Look, we know also in the industry there's a lot of good companies out there that will kind of take you on board, and they'll talk you through the process. But yeah, in terms of that, it's making sure whoever you go with, you do, as I said, a few of the points that we mentioned in terms of your own due diligence, and also on the company as well. Have a little look into the company. Look at their reviews. I think it's massive, because... Yeah. I personally look at everything in terms of reviews on the actual company I'm buying from, as well as the developer sometimes. So these are all things you can factor in. But yeah, have a chat with a professional.
Yeah.
Because as you said, if you're touching in and this is your first time or new experience, chat with someone who's in the industry on a day-to-day basis.
Because there's a very big difference between talking to an estate agent about off-plan and an actual sort of new build off-plan specialist. Because estate agents, no offense, mostly...
We'll deal with
they don't know anything about buying off plan. They look at it and they're like deer in headlights. It's like, what is that? No chance. They don't understand it. They'll just dismiss it. Whereas if you actually look at case studies such as yourself, or you speak to people within the industry, professionals, they'll be able to give you a more rounded advice. And again, like for example, myself, I've got experience in both new build off plan and existing markets such as yourself. So trying to tap into people like that, I think, is a good resource of getting knowledge and learning about buying off plan.
Yeah, as you said, yeah, just get some information from an insight from the actual experts in the field as such that are dealing with it on a day-to-day basis. In terms of, yeah, you'd do the same with a mortgage broker. You wouldn't speak to someone, you wouldn't speak to an accountant about a mortgage. You'd want to go to the actual broker who would be able to give you that initial information. So, yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant. No. Thank you for sharing that, Matt. I hope that's been useful to anyone listening, even if you're not investing in off-plan, but maybe you're just interested in general property investment. It's good to hear sort of different aspects of property investing, because a lot of people just think of property investing as you go buy a property on the existing secondary market, you buy that, that's it. But there's lots of it. There's off-plan, HMO, served as accommodation. Groups. There's so many different strategies that you can do with property investing, and this is just one of them. So thank you for sharing it. It's obviously a positive story, which is always good. We can't wait to see how it plays out. When obviously you've bought it, got the keys and rented it, I'm sure we'll revisit and go over the numbers, see sort of the final aspect of it all, and it'd be interesting to see. So yeah, well done, and we look forward to that conversation. So we'll wrap that up there. Thanks for joining us again on another episode of the Pure Property Podcast, and we'll see you next time. Bye bye.